Tonight our devotional will be coming from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes, you know, there are programs on the television that have to do with makeovers. It might be a person's appearance. It could be a house totally made over, whatever. God is in the business of spiritual makeovers. He transforms people, changes them completely from one way to another way, from darkness to light, giving them hope of going from a place of death to a place of life. And that transformation is something that we also have a huge part in. What are we doing to make sure that we are a changed people? You know, when you initially obey the gospel, when you become a Christian, you turn your attention to new things, a new focus, different perspective, and a new source of guidance. Because generally in the world, when we live from day to day, we go by whatever we've been told, however we've been raised, maybe what society kind of presents as this is what most people do. This is general consensus. This is the right way to live. But often that's completely wrong. Or it's a distortion or a mixture of right with a lot of wrong blended together. But notice what Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So he contrasts the way that they used to live and think, their behavior, with what they now need to be. Here you are, born as Christians, newly born, and there's supposed to be a difference that becomes your new way of living. The only way that's going to happen is if you start drinking from different waters. You know, before we become Christians, you could say that we are drinking from the polluted waters of the world. And so that's why we're living in sin. That's why we think improper thoughts and we have wrong priorities and we have wrong standards that need to be altered. And the way to alter that is get rid of the polluted waters of the world and drink what? The pure milk of the Word. That's what's going to change us, make us into the truly newborn babes that are going to grow in the way that God directs. If we keep drinking of the waters of the world, we're not going to change. We won't be any different, much different, from what we used to be. But when we change all of that and we put all of these ungodly behaviors behind us and we begin to feed upon God's Word, we can have remarkable change. We can be transformed people. People won't recognize you as what you were because your behavior, your priorities, all is different. You don't resemble what you used to be. And that's a good thing. That's how we change from being a part of the darkness of the world to being lights in the world. When God's Word, that milk, is taken in and it changes us, we shine forth as different people. And as such, we can have an influence upon people at work, people at school, family members that we get together with, peers, neighbors, for positive influence that can also make a difference in their lives. You know, when people see you make a change, it can be enticing to them. They can be drawn to it. You know, if you struggle with health issues or weight issues or whatever, and you know someone and they have made a tremendous change and they're healthy and you're like, what did you do? How did you accomplish this? You know, people that are sick of sin and sick of the worldliness and the things, and they realize, you know, I don't like my life. I don't like it anymore. And they're looking for some spiritual direction and they see the kind of life you live and it's good and it's godly, that draws people to the Lord by your example. And what we can do when we take in God's Word, the pure milk, and grow is just that. We can change lives, not only our own, but become this influence for good. And he says that all of this can be accomplished. You drink this Word, you grow. He says, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have we been recipients of the wonderful grace of God? Have we not felt the difference in our lives, knowing that by God's grace we have been saved, we've been washed clean, and shouldn't that motivate us to seek out God's Word to get better and better? We've had sins forgiven. We've had initially the faith that we've got to build upon, but like Peter says, we have to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what we want. And as a part of that process, we have to realize what we are and our tie to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Coming to Him as to a living stone, that's Christ, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So we come to Christ. We're not ashamed of Him. We're not ashamed of His gospel. But we embrace Him. We look at Him as the precious cornerstone chosen by God. Even though He has been rejected by man, we love Him. And we have the understanding, get ready, because just like He's rejected by man, it's going to happen to us as well. He says, verse 5, you also, as living stones. So He is a living stone. We also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual house. This is what we are. You know, there are a lot of organizations in the world, clubs, different things that human beings are drawn to and want to be a part of. We are trying to draw people into the house of God, this spiritual house wherein is hope of life eternal, where can be found forgiveness of sins. And we are, as he says here, a holy priesthood. So the world is different. It's given over to self-pursuit, self-indulgence. It's a place of darkness, but here is the priesthood. In this world, there's a priesthood. It's the church. It's Christians. That's us. You can only be a holy priest of God when you, from the very beginning, have desired the pure milk of the Word so that you might grow thereby. You think of what a priest represented under the Old Testament, one who offered sacrifices to God, one who was a teacher of the Word of God, one who was chosen by God for a special purpose apart from the rest of those surrounding them. That's what the priesthood today is. We are God's special people. We are offering up spiritual sacrifices. We are to be teachers of the Word to not only one another, but to the world around us, drawing more to the Lord. What a tremendous privilege we have to be a part of the priesthood of God today. And he mentions these spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. And of course, we remember, you can offer up sacrifices that are unacceptable to God. Right at the beginning of the Bible, two brothers offer sacrifices. One is accepted, the other is rejected. Because if you don't follow God's will, if you don't offer sacrifices His way, He will not accept them. And the Bible shows us that a part of our spiritual sacrifices are the worship we offer to God. Is it acceptable? Well, is it done according to His will? How does God tell us to worship? You see, all of these things are part of the work of the priesthood that we need to help the world to see so that they can be a part of that which will be with God forever. Because God's coming back to this world one day. That is, He's sending His Son to bring the righteous and take them to be with Him forevermore. Are you among that number? Are you a part of this holy priesthood? Have you begun as a babe in Christ to live for the Lord and to grow in Him? Because that's something that everyone must do, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And the scary thing is, Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin, what you earn because of your sin is what? Death. Not physical dying, the second death. That's eternal separation from God in a place described as outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want that. So the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you come to Jesus? How do you receive or access the grace of God? It's by faith. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Savior of the world. Turn away from your sins. Acknowledge that I can't live how I want. I can't just do the easy thing. I have to follow the Lord's way. Turn away from my ungodly living and live for the Lord. I have to confess my faith in Jesus Christ. I have to be immersed in water. That's called baptism in the New Testament. And it's a symbolic representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We die to sin, and so we are buried, and then we're brought forth from the water like a resurrected person, now cleansed of all sins by the blood of Christ in baptism, and now you're a new person, a new creature, to live a new life for the Lord. If you haven't done that yet, and been added by God to the church that you read about in the Bible, there's something you need to do, or we can study with you more about that and help you understand what God requires of you. But if you've done those things already as a child of God, are you living faithfully, serving the Lord? Are you growing as you're supposed to by feeding upon the milk of the Word? If not, make changes so that you can grow. Make your priorities different. Focus on the spiritual in life. And if you've wandered into sin and you need to come home to the Lord, we can pray for you tonight. Whatever your needs are, the Lord can help you with them. Won't you come as we stand and sing?